Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. The purpose of this program is to provide biblical teaching and insight on current events that lead up to the consummation of this age, the rise of the Antichrist, the great apostasy, the coming apocalypse, the return of Christ. Jesus even told us to look for signs of the time, Matthew chapter 24, verse 33. So you too, when you see all of these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. There is an event taking place right now that is a great faith builder, an event that causes me pause and stirs up a lot of theological questions, and that is the current drought taking place in Iran. Iran is in such devastation because of a lack of rain. Last month, the president of Iran, Masoud Pezeshkian, announced that Tehran, the capital of Iran, may have to move to another location, a relocation of 10 million people. I mean, that's like saying that New York City has to be abandoned and the people need to move and rebuild at another location 1,000 miles away. And in the case of the president of Iran's announcement, the proposal is to move to the southern coast, the region of Mahran, 1,100 miles to the south. That sounds insane, but not when you consider the ecological disaster taking place in Tehran. The city is sinking because they have pumped all the water out of the underground aquifers. Now, in regard to this drought, I'm not saying that this is a sign of the end times. I mean, Jesus himself said in Matthew 24 that drought is not a sign of the end of this age. Matthew 24, 6, Jesus said, "You'll be hearing of wars and rumors of war. See to it that you're not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end." Too many evangelicals miss that caveat. Verse 7, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes." So these environmental troubles are to be par for the course throughout the entire church age. But then Jesus goes on to explain that the sign of his soon return is the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet and the great tribulation. You know, often Christians and prophecy speakers get it wrong by claiming that Jesus was teaching that earthquakes and famine are a sign of Jesus' soon return. But check out the actual Matthew 24 text. Jesus was actually teaching that we are not to claim famines, earthquakes, and wars are signs of Jesus' soon return. Well, nevertheless, the drought in Iran is so severe and unique that one has to call it what insurance people would call it, an act of God. The drought is centered right over Iran and parts of Afghanistan. All of the other surrounding countries in the Middle East are receiving about normal rainfall, but not Iran. This year, rainfall is down 88%. Now, this would just be another unforeseen natural event in the world. But we have to take into account the geopolitical behavior of Iran. It looks like more than just a coincidence. Iran is Israel's greatest enemy in the region. Iran supports all of the terrorism against Israel. Hamas in Gaza to the west of Israel, the Houthis in Yemen to the south of Israel, the Hezbollah in Syria to the north of Israel, and Iran on the west. Psalm 83, they say, "Let us wipe Israel out as a nation." These countries call themselves the Axis of Resistance, and all this is being funded and controlled from Tehran. Iran is the proxy funding all of this terrorism. Eliminate Iran and you cut off the supplies and the financing to Israel's enemies. So is this drought a curse on Iran? What does the Bible have to say about this? Well, first, let's look at some of the details of the situation in Iran, and then we'll look at some of the scriptures in that regard. Now, as I mentioned, this year, rainfall in Iran has declined by at least 80 to 90%. Looking back at the last 45 years. It's never fallen this low. It was very low back in 1989 and 1996, but even in those years, Iran was receiving twice the rainfall than it's received in 2025. All of the reservoirs that supply Tehran are empty. The pictures are amazing. Where lakes used to be, it's hard, dried, cracked clay. People are walking across riverbeds. Bridges are over dry riverbeds. And the problem is not just the weather, which is an act of God, but government policies in Iran have contributed to the crisis. God doesn't have to judge the nation supernaturally. They did this themselves. As in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19, God says to Israel, your own wickedness will correct you and your own apostasies will reprove you. And although the government is blaming climate change, scientists outside of Iran see this as a manufactured crisis. Over the past 50 years, Iran has been damming up rivers, hoping to create reservoirs to increase farming and hydroelectric energy. Iran has built over 300 dams, and certain business interests in Iran made billions off of urging the government to build these dams. And the government was convinced that they could turn Iran, which is naturally a semi-arid region, into a water paradise. I mean, for a while, they were even encouraging farmers to pump water out of the ground and move away from growing grain to water-intense crops like rice and watermelon. The damming of rivers only created pools for water to evaporate and for water to be pumped out, rather than allowing the natural flow of the rivers to refill the underground aquifers, aquifers that have been there for thousands of years. And once these aquifers are dry, it takes decades to refill them, but even worse, they collapse, so they never can be refilled. When it does rain in Iran, the ground is so dry that water cannot soak into the hardened ground. So it floods and it runs off. Iran is having both drought and flash floods at the same time. And sinkholes are opening up all over Tehran, and the buildings in many areas are sinking 1 foot per year because the aquifers are collapsing. And with the sinking comes the severing of underground gas lines and electric lines and sewer lines. Additionally, Tehran has been built over the convergence of six major fault lines, and there's a 90% chance that Tehran will have a major earthquake in the next few years. Here's an article entitled, Tehran is overdue and ill-prepared for a massive earthquake. And of course, any earthquake will cause these empty aquifers to finally collapse under the city, which will make matters worse. A quote from the article, with some 16 million inhabitants, Tehran is the most populous metropolitan area in Western Asia. It's highly prone to earthquakes. And in view of many scientists, it is long overdue for the big one. Six main fault lines and as many as 60 minor fault lines run across Tehran underneath numerous high-rise buildings, both residential and commercial. The high seismic hazard in combination with the dense population and several vulnerability factors turn Tehran into one of the top 20 worldwide megacities at high earthquake risk. The whole city and the regime could collapse tomorrow. But here they are frantically rebuilding their weapons so they can attack Israel again. Now back to the situation with the current drought. In Tehran, the people cannot wash dishes, can't take showers, can't flush toilets. For at least half the day, the water is completely turned off. And when the water does come through, it's usually brown. And with a lack of water, there isn't enough water to move the sewage through the pipes, so they're having a major sewage problem. And the price of a gallon of water costs more than the price of a gallon of gasoline. Also, because of this drought, there are dust storms, and the air quality through the year is toxic. businesses are closing. We often don't realize how much water is used in manufacturing, let alone the damage to the food supply. What about getting water from the Caspian Sea, about 100 miles north of Tehran? Well, the Caspian Sea is salt water. And over the past few years, it has dropped about 2 meters, revealing new islands and new shoreline. Then there is Iran's demographics. Throughout the 1970s, the population exploded with the oil industry and the urbanization of the country. From about 15 million people in the 1950s to about 90 million today. And this is a problem throughout the entire oil-rich Muslim world, from Iran to Egypt. The populations have exploded due to oil revenues, but the land itself cannot agriculturally support the population. All of the food needs to be imported, which leaves the people in a very vulnerable situation. You know, you might think these Muslim nations, these nations that are following the false prophet, are rich and successful, but they are actually living on a knife's edge. Also in Iran, the birth rate in the 1980s was almost 6 children per woman. Now it's under 2, less than the replacement rate. So there is a large population in Iran between the ages 30 and 50. Professionals at the height of their career, but they're not having children. So this is not a nation that should be moving 14 million people, the government and businesses, to build a brand new capital 1,000 miles away. They don't have the workforce to make it happen. And another issue in all this is that the place the president has put forth for the new capital is going to be a disaster. Macron is on the Arabian Sea, but it's desert and has less water there than Tehran. All the water has to come from building desalinization plants, which is extremely costly. Summer temperatures there are between 110 and 115. The president thinks Iran's new capital on the coast will be a center for maritime trade, but they're kind of late to the game. There are already thousands of ports throughout the Arabian Sea. So Iran is in a no-win situation. God has really cranked down the screws on this nation. The president has called upon the people to pray to Allah for rain, but Allah is not the biblical God, and he can't answer their prayers. Only Jehovah God, Yahweh, sends the rain, Psalm 147:8, who covers the heavens with clouds, who provides rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. Ask rain from the Lord, from Yahweh, at the time of the spring rain. The Lord, Yahweh, who makes the storm clouds, and he will give them showers of rain, vegetation in the field to each man. The UK Guardian has an article that asks this question, climate crisis or warning from God? Iranians desperate for answers as water dries up, as rainy season fails to bring relief, authorities try to seed clouds, while others across the country pray for a miracle. So what do we know concerning what the Bible has to say about drought? Well, the first reference to drought is when Abraham was called to go into the land of promise, the land of Canaan. But there was a drought or a famine in the land, and so Abraham didn't follow God's instruction and went to Egypt instead, and being outside God's will, he had troubles there. But there was great providence in the fact that God called Abraham to go into the land of Canaan during a drought. While everyone was abandoning that territory, that was the perfect time for Abraham to establish himself in Canaan. But he missed that opportunity. Well, the overall lesson here is that God will often use rain and drought to providentially protect and provide for his people, to even punish the wicked so that the righteous can be preserved. 100 years later, God would bring a famine upon the family of Jacob to punish the whole territory of Canaan and to move Jacob's family to Egypt. Psalm 105, God established a covenant with the family of Abraham, saying to you, I will give the land of Canaan as a portion of your inheritance. when they were only a few in number, very few, and strangers in it, and they wandered about from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to oppress them. And he reproved kings for their sakes, do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. And he called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. So the point is that God even uses the environment to fulfill his covenant with his people. Now, later in the Mosaic law given to Israel, God warned the Israelites that if they do not obey, they will also be judged with drought and famine. Deuteronomy 28, if you do not obey the word of the Lord, the heavens which are over you shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you, iron. The Lord will make the rain of your land powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed, and with no water a nation collapses very quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 17, the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain, and the ground will not yield its fruit, and you will perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. And this judgment did fall upon Israel in the days of her apostasy, Jeremiah 14, because the ground is cracked, for there has been no rain on the land. The farmers have been put to shame. They have covered their head. And Ezekiel 14, for thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four severe judgments against Jerusalem, sword, famine, wild beasts, and plague, to cut off man and beast from it. In the dedication of Solomon's temple, we see a high correlation between the moral spiritual condition of Israel and rainfall. 1 Kings chapter 8, when the heavens are shut up and there's no rain because they have sinned against God. But if the people repent and pray, God will send rain on the land. That's a promise. And the Old Testament prophets mention often that drought will come upon Gentile nations that afflict Israel. Isaiah 21 and Jeremiah chapter 50, Babylon will become a desert because it invaded Israel. Jeremiah 51, her cities have become an object of horror, a parched land in a desert, a land in which no man lives and through which no son of man passes. And regarding future prophecy about Israel, the two future prophets who are to show up in Israel during the apocalypse, Revelation chapter 11, verse 6, these have the power to shut up the sky so that no rain will fall during the days of their prophesying, like just like in the days of Elijah. And there's also the millennial prophecies of Zechariah chapter 14. And it will be that whichever of the families of the earth does not go up to Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, there will be no rain on them. There seems to be some special promise to national Israel that's tied up in this earthly covenant, the covenant God made with Israel, whereby sin is punished more directly through things like the environment. God was giving Israel extra signs of obedience and disobedience. When we come to the New Testament, we hear Jesus saying that God sends rain both on the just and the unjust. And Paul says to the philosophers in Athens in Acts chapter 17 that God has sent them rain as evidence of God's mercy despite their sin and idolatry. So today Christians are very reticent to claim that an immoral nation will definitely experience drought, because we know of many immoral nations that have plenty of rain. The promise given to Israel under the Mosaic Covenant may have been unique. Other people didn't receive such immediate discipline from God, which is really a positive thing, not a negative, because we would want God to stop us in our sin. I mean, I would love to have a state in America to have no rainfall as soon as they pass an abortion law or a transgender law. We need all the help we can get in discerning error, especially since the lies of sin are so strong. But what might be going on in Iran is that here's a situation where God is not sending rain on the unjust. Is this because God is now working again with Israel? And some of these promises made to national Israel are being revived? Maybe. But even throughout the church age, God has judged certain nations that have fallen into gross evil, such as the famine in Russia after the Bolshevik Revolution, the poverty in North Korea, the poverty after Mao's Cultural Revolution. God does this in order to hinder sin in this world. God will still bring disasters on evil nations. So maybe what's going on in Iran is that since the restoration of national Israel is a major part of God's big prophetic program at the end of this age for the redemption of many souls, Iran has crossed the line. There are many evil nations in the world, but woe to the evil nation that tries to stop God's program. Isaiah chapter 44. God will confirm his word to his servant and perform the purposes of his messengers. God's prophecies will be fulfilled. Verse 26, it is I who say of Jerusalem, she shall be inhabited, and the cities of Judah, they shall be built. I will raise up her ruins again. It is I who say to the depths of the sea, be dried up, and I will make your rivers dry. It is I who say of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he will perform all my desires. And he declares of Jerusalem, she will be built, and the temple, your foundation, will be laid. So the point is, nothing can stop the program of God. The rebuilding of Jerusalem will come to pass. And this is in reference to the return from the first deportation, 500 BC. But in this, we might also be seeing a double fulfillment of prophecy in regard to the current second return of Israel from the deportation. And notice God drying up rivers is part of the prophecy. Now some final points here. First, let's remember that in the first return from exile, 500 BC, God was blessing the Jews despite themselves. They did not deserve this blessing. It wasn't for their righteousness that he was restoring Israel, but for the sake of his elect, those who are going to be saved. And this is the word of the prophet Haggai to the exiles returning. Haggai chapter 2, then Haggai said, so this people, and so is this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so is every work of their hands. What they offer there is unclean. So this is an unclean people spiritually. But verse 15, but now do consider from this day onward, yet from this day I will bless you. The Deuteronomy curse that was due them was set aside so that God could reestablish a nation for the coming Messiah. The Jews in Israel today are not believe that Iran is being cursed because Israel is so righteous, but because God is calling the Jews back into the land and protecting them for God's own purposes. Second point to consider is the church in Iran, the Christians. Christianity is growing in Iran. Some mission organizations refer to Iran as the fastest growing Christian community in the world. Now, nobody truly knows the numbers because the church is underground. But this drought is most likely the answer to the prayers of these Christians. It's taking down the Iranian Muslim overlords, the clerics, the Revolutionary Guard. It's discrediting the whole Muslim faith, even as the prophets of Baal were discredited and not being able to send rain. Yes, Christians are going to have to suffer for a time with the world, and they're going to have to migrate out of Tehran to other cities. But in fleeing to other cities, that's going to aid their protection and their witness. They may lose their worldly possessions, but that's not what Christians live for anyway. The final point to be reminded of is that God can flip the switch anytime he so chooses. Psalm 110, verse 5. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings in the day of his wrath. You know, just like God struck down Herod in Acts chapter 12, after Herod put James, the brother of John, to death. Acts chapter 12, verse 23. And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and died. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. In Psalm 73, 18, concerning the wicked, surely you have set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Also Jeremiah chapter 18, at one moment I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom, to uproot, to pull down, or to destroy it. Or at another moment I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom, to build it up or to plant it. So let's not be distraught at wicked politicians and social leaders, even in our own country. Because Psalm chapter 2, God laughs at them because he sees that their day is coming. Deuteronomy 31. So we should also laugh at them. Psalm 92, 7, that when the wicked sprout up like grass and all who do iniquity flourish, it's only that they may be destroyed forevermore. Thanks for listening. Stand firm in the faith. Subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below, and may Jesus Christ reign.